Ann DeRay is Senior Vice President of Environment and Technology at the Tennessee Valley Authority. Ms. Ray, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Bruce.
So why is the TVA doing this?
TVA initiated some discussions with EPA to address some longstanding disputes on Clean Air Act.
I guess you guys have been involved in a lawsuit with the EPA and environmental groups for what, 11 years?
Well, TVA is certainly one of the largest utilities, and we certainly want to have cleaner energy. And that is one reason we entered into these agreements, is to be able to address and get some commitments and certainty on how we run that fleet going forward. But I do want to say something. It's an unprecedented collaborative effort among nine parties to reach an agreement that is this comprehensive, Bruce.
Well, let me ask my question again. Why did it take 11 years and lawsuits?
Well, TVA was involved in meeting all of the legislative requirements, all of the regulatory requirements. I think there was some difference in opinion on how those regulations were enforced, but the courts, TVA has won all of its lawsuits because the courts found that we were abiding by the existing regulations. But TVA wanted to go beyond that and say, look, we need to set the standard and the yardstick for the industry, and we all need to have cleaner air, cleaner water. And so we're going to take this step and then clean up our coal-fired plants as we move into the future.
So what you're doing is you're shutting down 18 very old coal generation units, as I understand it.
The commitment in the agreement is for 18, about 2,700 megawatts of electricity, of capacity, and we are shutting those down. And then the really great thing about this agreement is that it provides some flexibility and commitment. The EPA and the other groups all recognize that there are economic development, there are people's families and jobs that are affected by the shutdown of these 18 plants. So the flexibility built into this agreement is one of the unique features of this comprehensive agreement. It allows the remaining plants to decide, are you going to shut them down? Are you going to control them, emissions control, or are you going to convert them to biomass?
Mm-hmm. Well, it also has to do with lives. I mean, you have in these states that you generate electricity, you have what, an estimated 1,800 premature deaths a year, 2,400 heart attacks a year. How does this cut those numbers and those lives?
Right. I'm not familiar with the numbers that you just quoted. We were meeting the requirements that EPA established. I think it's a very well-balanced environment, economic development, and energy model that we've got here.
Well, how are you going to make up the energy that you lost by cutting out these plants?
The first thing you want to do is the least cost, cleanest energy source, and that's energy efficiency. So we're looking at the equivalent of almost two nuclear plants of energy efficiency to help people use energy more wisely, reduce the peak, reduce it overall. And then to be able to make up any growing load, we're looking at nuclear power and gas and renewables.
How many new nuclear reactors do you want to build?
Right now, we're looking at starting one unit in Spring City, Tennessee, Watts Bar Unit 2, in the year 2013. We're studying a plant that was partially built in Scottsboro, Alabama, called Bellefonte. And right now we're doing engineering design and long lead items, but we have not been approved by our board of directors to move forward on completion of that unit.
So the price tag for this agreement is between $3 and $5 billion. How much of that is going to go for renewables?
So the $3 to $5 billion is specifically associated with controls or conversion of the remaining coal plants.
I see. So do you have a commitment to fund renewable power?
TVA has a commitment for cleaner energy. So when you look at renewables, what's the objective of renewables? It's to reduce carbon. And so TVA does have a vision to be over 50% clean energy, which includes hydro, renewables, hydro, biomass, solar, including nuclear by 2020.
I was looking at your portfolio of solar power, actually, and you've got some at Dollywood Theme Park, a parking lot there, Lover's Lane Soccer Complex in Bowling Green. You've got very little, as a matter of fact. I was also looking at wind, and you've only got enough for, what, 3,800 homes. That's not a tremendous commitment for a utility the size of the TVA.
Actually, I think TVA's got almost 2,000 megawatts of wind that are that we've under contract. The wind that you're referring to, I think, are the assets that we actually own in the valley. And we did put in the first wind farm if you can call three wind turbines a farm, in the Southeast. What happened is that the economics of where those wind turbines were and the technology at the time were not cost effective.
So this agreement basically looks at sulfur dioxide emissions and nitrogen oxide, SOx and NOx. It doesn't deal with carbon dioxide and climate change.
The Clean Air Act specifically is addressing this sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxides, not addressing greenhouse gas. Mm. I think there was some controversy as EPA tried to expand the coverage of the Clean Air Act to include the greenhouse gas. And that, of course, has created a lot of this controversy that's going on now. But strictly speaking, with the Clean Air Act, of which this is the purpose of this settlement, it is about SOx, sulfur dioxide, and NOx, nitrous oxide.
So who pays for this? I mean, you've got, what, 9 million ratepayers. Are they the ones that pay the $3 to $5 billion settlement?
And TVA's source of revenue is the ratepayers and borrowing. Those are the only two sources. And this case, TVA has been looking at what our long-term costs would be to operate a cleaner generating system. When we looked at that, we saw that there was another co-benefit is to be able to settle these disputes, because some of the actions that we would take under good, solid economic business decisions to help the ratepayers have the lowest long-term cost also happen to be the exact same decisions we would make to settle these clean air disputes with EPA and the other environmental advocacy groups.
But the ratepayers will get an increase in their bills, I imagine.
They would not get an increase as a result of the settlement any more than they would have gotten without the settlement.
Well, Ms. Ray, I want to thank you a lot for your time. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for having us, Bruce.